was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed, which means hated evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Had a good family, didn't he? His substance also was 7,000 sheep. Well, he needed all those boys, didn't he?
Yeah.
7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. He had the market cornered. 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. They were a close family, weren't they? And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. He was concerned about the spiritual welfare of his family. Verse 6, the scene changes. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" In other words, where have you been? What you been doing? Give an account of yourself. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." By the way, he still does that, doesn't he? Goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he appears as an angel of light that he might deceive the people. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth, hateth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast not thou," here's my message, "hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Well, I read past my text. I shouldn't stop. But I want to talk tonight about that hedge that Satan said that God had built around Job, and all that he had was inside that hedge. I announced this morning that I almost entitled this message, "When Satan Told the Truth." But I didn't want to give him any credit for anything. So I call it God's hedge. I used to like to read the Louis L'Amour books about this country in its early days, when a lot of this area, even here in San Diego, was wide open range. No fences. Barbed wire wasn't even invented until 1873. That's after the Civil War. Of course, back east, they had split rail fences. Have you ever seen any of those? I've seen a few of them, yeah. Remember Abraham Lincoln? Didn't he do that a little bit? Well, in Bible times, since they had no barbed wire, they would gather stones and build stone walls. There's still remnants of it left instead of hedges. Sometimes they would plant bushes, make a hedge around a certain area. But I want us to turn our thoughts to spiritual things tonight and think about God's hedge that He's put around His people and what it means. A hedge means proprietorship. I've got a list of P's here that help us remember it. A proprietor is a person who has a legal right to something. He has exclusive title to something. It means ownership. And when something is fenced in, it means that it belongs to someone else. It isn't yours. Now, God has a hedge around us because you and I, belong to Him. He owns us. He owns us by right of creation. He made us. And He owns us by right of redemption. He bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So He owns us. And here's something else. Since God owns us, He owns everything that we possess. It's not ours. We can't take it with us when we leave this earth. We have to leave it behind. Everything that we have that God has entrusted to us, we're simply stewards that are holding it in trust for the real owner, who is God. And one day, we'll have to give an account. We got some parables in the New Testament about that, remember? There'll be a time when we'll give an account to God for what He has put in our hands that He's entrusted us with. Now, so the hedge means that we belong to God. We're His. A hedge also means preciousness. If you drive across some parts of the United States, a lot of it is dry, arid desert. You get over into Nevada and Arizona and parts of New Mexico, and we're going to leave Texas out of this. They're what we call wide open spaces. You can drive for miles and miles and never see a fence. Why? Because there's nothing out there worth fencing in. I'm sorry. There's nothing out there worth fencing. Several years ago, my wife and I made a trip. The only time I've ever been down in Florida, we went down there, and we'd been to Jacksonville, I think it was, and we were driving down south, and we saw a place on the side of the road, free barbecue. It was about noon. I don't care now, free barbecue. So while we whirled off the road and went over there, and it was a real estate thing. And you, sure enough, they had free barbecue. We ate and we listened to their little sales spiel a little bit. And they said, hey, would you like to go back and see some of the place over here where we're developing houses? Well, we didn't have anything else more exciting to do, so we went over there and got in their van. They took us down the road a ways. By the way, their highway, it has swamp on both sides of it, just water, you know, and you're driving down this road. And, well, where are we going? Well, we pulled off to the side of the road and went down. There was a boat. They said, okay, get in the boat. So we got in the boat. And we weren't the only ones. There were some more people there that were as gullible as we were. And so we got in the boat, and we went out through those old cypress trees and all such as this, and boat. And I was looking for alligators and water moccasins and things like that, you know. And directly we came upon a little island out here, a man-made island. They had dredged dirt and mud from the bottom of the swamp and made a little bit of dry land here, and they built, I think there were about 3 model homes on it. And so they took us through the homes. Now this is the house that we're building, okay? And then we got back in the boat, and we went in through an area of that swamp that they had cleaned off, you know. They made a waterway out of, not a roadway, but a waterway out of it. And they had ribbons out there, red ribbons tied around the trees on the side of the waterway, and said, all right, this is where your lot starts. And then you go on down here, and this is where it ends. There's another tree with a ribbon around it. And if you buy this, we'll come out here and we'll make your own little island out here in the middle of this swamp with the alligators and the mosquitoes and the snakes and possums and all such things as that, you know. And we'll build you a house out here. You didn't need a car, but you sure would need a boat. Well, needless to say, I didn't buy one. My wife wouldn't let me. She said, I don't want to live out here. But you know, one thing about it, you wouldn't have to build a fence around it. You wouldn't have to hedge it in, because nobody wanted that swamp land out there. I don't know whatever happened to that area down there. It may be a Las Vegas of Florida by now. I don't know what it turned out to be, but anyway, that wilderness of deserts and swamps is not worth very much. But you know, God uses the word precious whenever he starts talking about his redeemed people. He calls us precious. Don't you ever think that you're not worth anything, because God Almighty gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. He considered you worthwhile. He bought you with a price. You were expensive to him. You are precious to him. And God has built a hedge around you because he considers you worth something. And like diamonds, the fewer of us there are, the more precious we become, I guess. The more scarcer we are. So don't ever think that you're not worth anything, because God's built a hedge around you, and if you weren't worth anything, he wouldn't have done it. A hedge also means protection. Protection. When you've got a big fence around you, nobody can get in to you. That's what Satan was fussing about with God. He was complaining there. He said, yeah, I can't get to him because you built a hedge around him. A hedge means protection. I remember back in 1970, we made a trip. We had a 68 Chrysler New Yorker. And we drove that thing all the way to the East Coast. We went over to Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia and all of that part of the country. And on our way, we'd gone north from here and hit Highway 70 and went into Denver. Robert, I guess that's before you even moved there, because that we didn't know anybody there to stop. When we got on 70, we was making pretty good time across here. And out east of Denver, the road forks. 70 goes right straight on due east across Kansas in that direction. Now, the one we wanted to be on was 76, and that was the one that kind of veered off to the left and went up northeast to Nebraska. That's the way we were going. But I was driving and wasn't watching where I was going, and 70 was nice and smooth, and I missed my turn off. I said, all right, in my mind I could see it. I know 70 runs this way and 76 runs up this way. I can go out here a ways and I'll find a highway that will cut across from 70 up to 76. And so I just kept driving on east on 70. I didn't look at a map. I don't need a map when I'm driving. I just kept on driving. And I never did find a road that went north. Instead of that, I went off out there and found an Army base, Air Force base, or something like that, that had an 8-foot high chain link fence all the way around it with barbed wire on top of it. And whenever you could find an entrance, there was a guy that was standing there with a rifle that wouldn't let you in. And I drove and drove, and finally I just drove, and I got slower and slower and slower. You know how it is when you can't make up your mind what you're going to do? So finally, after so many miles, I turned my car around and came all the way back and found the right road. But I'm talking about protection. They had a big fence around that Army base out there. And that fence was to keep those soldiers in. You've been in the military? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it's also to keep the enemy out. It's for protection. It's for protection. Now, why does God build a fence around us? Protection. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about. It's kind of like a hedge or a fence, isn't it? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about who? Them that fear him and delivereth them. There's the hedge. I have a beautiful illustration of this over in 2 Kings chapter 6. You'll have to read it sometime. It's really interesting. It's about Elisha and his servant. See, the Syrians were at war with Israel. And they've been fighting over there since the beginning of time. It's not any better today. Syria, Israel. God, who knows all things, would tell Elisha where the Syrian army was hid out over here to ambush the Israeli army. And Elisha then would go to the leaders of the Israeli army and he would tell them, don't go down this road because the Syrians are on both sides of it and they'll get you when you go down that road. And so they would go another direction. Syria didn't like that. They were being foiled every time they turned, and they became angry and found out that Elisha was the one that was telling where they were. So the captain of the Syrian army gathered together a large group of his soldiers. The Bible says a great host. And at night, he sent chariots and horses and soldiers and surrounded the place, the whole village where Elisha was staying there at Dothan. The next morning, Elisha's servant got up, went outside to do his daily chores, and he looked east, west, north, and south, and he saw nothing but the Syrian army all the way around him. Well, he kind of panicked, and he went into the house and told Elisha, he says, what shall we do? Didn't bother Elisha a bit. You know what he said? He said to him, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then he prayed, Lord, open this young man's eyes. And all of a sudden, God performed a miracle and opened his eyes. And you know what he saw? He saw the army of the Lord encamped all around them, between them and the Syrians.
Amen.
And they had chariots of fire. And then, to show you how God works, he smote the Syrians with blindness. They couldn't find them anyway. God has a hedge of protection around his people. Now the Bible says that we are branches on the choice vine in God's fenced-in vineyard. Think about it. You got a beautiful vineyard out here with some choice vines in it, and you got a fence around it. And we are the branches on God's choice vine. We belong to him, and he's going to protect that which is his. And concerning his vineyard, he says in Isaiah 27:3, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. So we are in the hedge, surrounded by God's protective hedge, and he takes care of us on the inside. And then we have those precious words over there in the 10th chapter of the book of John, where Jesus tells us that we are in his hand, and said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Then he says, we're in God's hand, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's protection. You can't get better protection than that. A hedge also means precision, because a hedge keeps in as well as keeps out. Most houses today have fences around them, and that fence is the border line. That's the border line. I have a fence on three sides of my house. And there are people to the back of me, people to the right, people to the left. But what my fence is around is mine. It's a boundary line. Now, inside is mine, outside somebody else's. We need to know our boundaries. So God's put a hedge around us. What's on the inside is yours. What's on the outside, you leave it alone. Back during World War II, I was in the Navy. And there were some places that we were not allowed to go. You remember that, fellas? They called it off limits. And they had people called shore patrol that policed those areas to keep you out of those places that were off limits. If we went there and got caught, we got punished. It's like the games of baseball. You know what a foul ball is? It's a ball that goes over the boundary, out of limits. In other sports, they call it out of bounds. By the way, do you know what the word trespass means? Trespass? You think it's a Bible word. Well, it really is, but it was a long time to me before I ever found out it was a Bible word. Because when I grew up, if a guy had a watermelon patch out there, great big old ripe watermelons and such as that, you walk down the road and you see those out there. But there was a sign on the fence or on the gate that says, "No trespassing." And that certainly didn't mean don't sin here. It had nothing to do with sin. It means stay out of my watermelon patch. Stay out. That's what that word means. Keep out. Don't steal my watermelons. Now the word trespass literally means to exceed the bounds of what is lawful, just, or right. Don't exceed the bounds. Listen, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve broke God's holy law by eating the forbidden fruit. They trespassed. And they became sinners because they went beyond the boundary of God's Word.
Amen.
God's Word was the boundary, and God drove them out of that beautiful Garden of Eden and placed cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way, the Bible says, and it was there to keep and to guard and to protect the way of the tree of life. That was the first hedge. The first hedge. Now God's word is our boundary. It's our hedge. It's our fence. If we go beyond that, we are trespassing. And we're in trouble. So we are hedged about by the word of God. And inside this hedge is a church that God has for us to go to. Remember back in Exodus, God told his people, he said, when you get into the land of Canaan, that land flowing with milk and honey, he said, you farm that land for 6 years, and every seventh year, you leave it fallow. You don't plant anything. Every seventh year. Well, they didn't obey God's word. The seventh year came, and they went out and they broke up the soil. They planted their crop, and they got as good a crop as they had last year. And the kid says, "Daddy, you should have left that land alone. God said, don't plow it and plant it." "Yeah, but son, we need it." And so he worked it. And the next seventh year, he did the same thing. And it became a habit. And when the boy grew up and got his own farm, he did the same thing that his daddy did. And they did that, listen to this, 490 years. You talk about long-suffering. God is long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish. But one of these days, the chickens come home to roost. And when they did, Nebuchadnezzar came with the armies of Babylon, and he took them away to Babylon. And they were in Babylon for 70 years. Figure it out. 490 years they disobeyed God's law and didn't let the land rest every seventh year. Divide 490 by 70. You got it. That's it. God got it back all at one time. Now, Psalm 137 starts off this way. You can imagine where this psalm was written. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They had no song. They had no joy. And there are many Christians today with their hearts hanging in the willow trees. They have no joy. And they have no song. They've trespassed outside God's boundary, outside God's hedge. But let me finish with this. A hedge also means purpose. God has a purpose for building a fence around us. You don't just go out here and arbitrarily put up a fence for nothing. Too much work in it. You ever dig fence posts? Post hole diggers? Oh, that's hard work. And then you got to put those posts in there, and you got to stretch that barbed wire and work with that, and nailing the staples to the, using staples to nail the wire to the post and such. That's hard work, building fence. Now God's going to do something about it. When he builds a hedge, he has a reason for it. He has a purpose for it. Used to be years ago that a farmer would go out here, I've helped do that, clear some new ground. You go down here where there's nothing but a patch of woods. And you go down there and you cut out all of the brush. You cut out all the trees. And you pull out all the stumps. You remove all of the rocks and get it kind of smooth out there. And then you get out there and you break that ground up. And you plow it up. But you build a fence around it. You build a fence around it to keep the critters out of it, both domestic and wild. God has a purpose for hedging us in. I like to think of Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to God's purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has us hedged up. Used to be, when you raised your own beef and your own hogs and such as this, that you would pin them up in a pen and you would feed them. My dad liked to feed the hogs corn. I've shelled many ear of corn and fed it to the hogs, because that has something to do with the meat on the hog. A lot better than one fattened on slop, I'll tell you that for sure. And that's what God has, a hedge around us. And he's taking care of us. And he's protecting us. And he's not going to let Satan get into us. We're protected from Satan. God's purpose in hedging us in is to make us like Jesus. He's preparing us for eternity. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He still has a lot of work to do on some of us, but he's still working on us. Work in progress. So remember that. Take it home with you. God has a hedge around you. Amen. He loves you. You belong to him. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. We're glad that you're here tonight to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries with us. And Brother Sam, if you will be so kind to dismiss our service here and ask God's blessing upon the refreshments. Amen.
Thank you for your hedge about us and all we have heard this evening. And so we thank you, Lord, to that word that Aaron gave to your people. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.
Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you for that, Lord, too. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you. Bless our refreshments, Lord. We thank you for those who have prepared these refreshments for us. And we would indeed in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So thank you. And thank you for this time and fellowship in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.